for the players.
I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Max Cooper.
And this is For The Players, the pop culturist PlayStation podcast of 40 years of playing PlayStation and 12 plus years. And that game's me combined. I'd like to thank you for joining us in this PlayStation conversation.
This PlayStation conversation happens every Monday morning at 8 a.m. on podcast services, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and 9 a.m. on those YouTubes. If you'd like to take part in future conversations with us, you can check out our socials, Facebook, Discord, Instagram, and X. All of those links can be found in the description below.
If you want to join the conversation as it happens, head over to twitch.tv/thepopculturist, where you can watch us record this show live, where you can jump in the chat and become part of the show. If you want to support the show, you can tell your friends, tell your family about this PlayStation Pod. If you are listening to us on podcast services, be sure to give us a 5-star rating and a written review. Watch us on YouTube, be sure to like, subscribe, leave a comment below. I endeavor to answer every single comment. And if you want to support us financially, you can at patreon.com/thepopculturist, as well as our merchandise store, popculturist.com/shop, where you can buy shirts and other assorted shit with our logos on it. Before we even kick off the show this week, Max, I'm going to do a big old shout out to a friend of the show, friend of myself, Luke Morgan, for hitting me up a little about 2 weeks ago and being like, yo, I won this voucher for Insert Coin, which is an apparel website based out of the UK. It was for about $2,000. I just bought a bunch of shirts. I haven't done anything with them. They are in what I assume is your size. You want them. And I was like, son of a bitch, I'm in. Because they're all PlayStation themed. That was the big gimmick. So he sends me through the photos of what they are. I'm like, holy shit. Yes. Yes, yes, yes. Now, granted, I don't get paid in 2 weeks, so right now, breathing is fucking painful for me. Do you mind holding out? He's like, yeah, no worries, man, no shit at all. And then, get paid, send him the money, and then come, was it Friday? There's this honking parcel at my door. So I kind of went, yeah, look, any of the PlayStation ones, like the God of War ones especially. And he goes, cool, I'll send you these shirts, I'll send you these varsity jackets. Boom, they're yours. I was like, fuck. So if you head over to either my Twitter or the Pop-C Instagram, you will see the little display video that I made of me walking sexily in front of my lounge room door to show off what I've got. And today, this very moment, Max, I am wearing the Last of Us Part 2 Ellie's tattoo across my titties. Because that was the 2 in Last of Us. It was Last of Us 2 titties. Because it's my boobies. But yes, I fucking love all the shirts. It's fantastic. It's one of those things where I'm like, I need more shirts. Sure, why not? They're all PlayStation? Yeah, sure, why not? Big shout out. Thank you very much to Luke. But I've had some fun with this week, with the Twitters this week, Max.
Yeah, what's up? What's been happening this week? What has made Twitter fun for you?
Well, it depends. So this week they launched the PlayStation Stellar Blade Gammy Korean Fried Chicken Burger Beer Joint crossover, and it turns out the big novelty is, I don't know, I'm not quite sure why. Now, Max, you played a lot more Stellar Blade than I have, but they have selected...
I actually played it.
Yeah, I played it. I didn't like it, so I stopped playing. It's pretty easy. It's a standard chicken, fried chicken burger. It's also delicious, by the way. But the gimmick of it is that the bun is like a teal or a turquoise or a bleen, as I would call it, because of my color blindness. I bought one, made some fun video, got some love. Shout out to PlayStation Australia for sharing it. Thank you. Mwah. Got about like 7,000 hits over a bunch of different, like collectively over like Instagram, Twitter and Facebook and stuff and YouTube. It was awesome. And it was really fun. It was really silly. The burger was actually spectacular. But Max, what about Stellar Blade would indicate that you should make this burger bleen?
Well, I mean, I'm pretty sure the base suit is green.
Yeah, it's green though. This is teal. Like this, I'm blue. look, as I mentioned in that video, like, I'm blue, green, shade, colorblind. So, like, sometimes, like, there is a distinct line. I can know what green is. I know what blue is. Anything in between can get right fucked because it all looks the same to me.
I don't know. Maybe it's as simple as Dr. Seuss will come kick your door in for making green food after green eggs and ham. You're like, fuck you guys. Green food is my domain for all time.
It's possible. It's absolutely possible. Like,
PlayStation's the blue brand. Maybe they just got blue buns.
Maybe it's hinting that, you know, Stellar Blade coming to Xbox. Blue and green. Blean. Very unlikely.
I mean, that's just the food coloring that they had on hand.
They're like, oh, no, we have a bunch of blean, I guess. Sure. Like, the game's set in, like, space and stuff. Like, should we make it, like, you know, like one of those charcoal burgers with, like, blue and sprinkles and make it look kind of, like, spacey? Like, nah, blean. Fun fact, though, the burger was absolutely delicious. I thoroughly enjoyed the gimmick of it, just purely for the novelty. Myself and my partner ordered one. Like, she was like, this is actually really good. I'm like, it looks funny, but it's tasty. So would I do it again? Absolutely. Because, like, we both got involved with the PlayStation to Plate initiative from 2 years ago? 2.5 years ago?
I think you're being pretty generous.
Oh, I did. I bought you back.
I'm pretty sure you're being generous. We didn't both get into it. You got into it so much that you drove an hour and a half away and went, hey, do you want something? I'm like, sure, why not?
Yeah, I went and bought it and it was cool and I came back and gave you one.
It was fucking delicious.
It was awesome!
I'll give it that.
Because, like, but just an expansion on this. I really love this gimmick shit. Like, the idea that they're like, hey, we're just going to, like, it's food. People always like food. But if you can theme it and have some fun with it, it makes it a blast.
Because the other thing is, it's also not, like, a special menu item. It's literally their standard fried chicken burger with a colored bun.
But, yeah, even the same as, because I remember, it was one of the, literally the first major date that I took Phoebe onto. We went to Valhalla for God of War Ragnarok.
Went to Mjolnir.
Yeah. What'd I call it?
Valhalla.
My apologies. Valhalla is a store that sells all that shit. Yeah, we went to that place. What was it fucking called?
Mjolnir.
Yeah, went there. And it was incredible. Like, it was really expensive. Like, nice, fine dining comparative to fucking Gammy. But, like, it was really, really good. And it was just a fun, silly little gimmick. And then they did, and then of course they did it with PlayStation to Plate. So we had the Ratchet and Clank themed dessert here in Melbourne. There was like a pasta dish to represent the dish that Nathan Drake and what's the fuck? What's her name? The other one. I want to say Chloe, but Chloe's the other girl. Elena. It's Elena. You know, they eat when they play Crash Bandicoot together. Then there was, like, the
tin spaghetti.
Yeah, then there was that, like, beef sandwich, roast beef sandwich from Last of Us Part 2.
Didn't they have, a clicker pie or something?
No, it was pretty sure it was a sandwich, because the idea was, like, you know, at the start of the game when Ellie first heads out with Dana to go explore the area, they're like, here's the sandwich. She's like, I don't want this sandwich. It's full of fucking fascism or whatever. She yelled at the guy who called her, made fun of her for being a lesbian or something.
What about fucking Donut King? Donuts.
So I have the box for that, like, above, like, over there on the shelf, but it's behind my studio light. So I was like, well, what's on the shelf? Oh, the PlayStation to Plate bag. That's still there. If I tilted my head slightly, I would have seen those donuts. Also delicious because they were donuts. So, Max, to kick off the show today, my silly little question for you. What would be the next thing?
What do you mean? Like, what's the next food item coming out?
Yeah, if you were invited to PlayStation Australia, and also, why the fuck did you take me, Max, you asshole? And they're like, Max, you look like a man that enjoys food. You're offended for a second, but then you agree. We need you to pitch, and also everyone here in the chat on Twitch, let us know your thoughts on, like, what PlayStation themed thing would you get as a food? It's obviously everything's off the table. Everything's on the table. Go nuts. I have not thought of an answer, so this question existed just now.
Thanks for putting me on the spot.
No worries. Because, like, while you think about it, jump in at any point, because I'm just going to talk garbage until you jump in. So I think about like what are the properties that would be most interesting. Obviously, Ghost of Tsushima just releasing on PC. It's in the name. Sushi. Also kind of racist because they are Japanese and it's pretty on the nose, but it could work. Ghost of Sushi Train.
What would you put on that sushi that makes it that little bit?
I don't fucking different? Know. I don't really like the game, nor do I like sushi. So
it's,
like,
it's not a blade. It's just a chicken burger with a blue bun. Like, and let's face it, that Ali steak sandwich at Mary's is just a fucking steak sandwich.
it was just a steak sandwich.
It's nothing crazy.
In the chat, we've got Reverend Puck Horizon Zero Prawn. It's pretty good. I like that one.
Yeah.
Because like, yeah, the difficulty is. Because once again, the only one that's kind of weird was the dessert for Ratchet, but the the Last of Us and the Uncharted dish actually fit into the game. So,
also, I would argue that the Ratchet and the Clank one's just as good because it kind of looked like a space alien.
It had like that real vibrant kiwi green.
Yeah, there. Yeah.
It is a tough one. I probably should have forewarned it, or I should have thought about it before right now. So let's think about key properties, right? Horizon is a big one. There's currently no food-related thing to Horizon.
It's a Days Gone bunning snag.
Yeah. Like that would be a fun idea. You get involved in like some sort of barbecue place. And you have a Days Gone spread. And the idea is just a bunch of assorted meat. It's all barbecued, but the idea is all fucking zombies. Or freakers, as they were in that game. That's a good one. Because the reason I also think about this as well is, in true Ryan's ADHD fashion, I have fallen down the rabbit hole of game-ified cookbooks too many times.
I want them all.
And my partner Phoebe just messaged me with Fallout food. Like, the problem with Fallout, technically it's owned by Microsoft now, so can't do that one. But like, outside of God of War Ragnarok, which has its own cookbook that came out when the game did, like, there's nothing specific.
I think Horizon does.
Does Horizon have a cookbook? Oh, it's coming. It's not out yet. It's coming, and I want it so goddamn bad. So that could be the answer. What have we got in the chat? Reverend Puck says Flan Turismo. Mute says if it was Last of Us, the mushroom dishes. Potentially, yeah, the fungi. The fungi. What else? What else would there be? Astrobot. Ooh, Astrobot would be a fun one. Because you get silly with it, you get a little cool and cutesy with it.
That's just a happy meal.
That's not... Well, look, I would still argue that those little cool little mini diorama-y thingies, little gotcha things from Astrobot's rescue mission, still the cutest shit in the world. I would buy all of them almost immediately. I don't know. Let you ponder on that. Let us know what you think would be a really cool PlayStation gimmicked dish. I'm going to think about it as the show goes through. So I'm just going to Easter egg these bad boys throughout the show as they come to me. God, my fucking eyebrows are a hot mess. Oh, concern I've never thought about. July? Oh, that's kind of almost now. All right, ponder on it. We'll get back to it. We'll move into the show. Max, I was a little late to recording the show today. Not going to lie, we were watching videos on YouTube of people opening WWE trading cards. You know those break videos?
Yeah, are you going to start my outrage about my card issues after you... Yeah, cool. All right.
Yeah. So, essentially, like, it's this whole setup, Max. It's how segues work. It's really cool.
I thought you just stood on them and leaned slightly forwards to go forwards and leaned slightly backwards to go backwards.
So, yeah, like, I've talked about this. With the release of the Fallout Magic cards, I think the Lord of the Rings caught my interest too. Transformers was a fun concept. I for some reason, there's part of me that is just, okay, I quite like that. Destiny T, like Destiny themed T. That's cool. I like that idea a lot, actually. That's fucking rad. Trading cards, I think the dopamine of opening them is fun. I love collecting. I love hoarding shit. trading cards tick all the fucking boxes. None of them have got me excited until I discovered that Panini in the US do a WWE set. Turns out it's fucking expensive, which breaks my heart. And I don't really care for some of the designs, but there are some that I think are exceptional. I'm like, I want those ones. And of course, they're like the variant chase insert ones that are hard to get. But you, Max, you are a cardboard crack. I'm not going to say, you know, you've rehabbed past it because this week says otherwise.
I mean, I have to a degree. I'm just going to quickly turn my chair around real quick. I'll be back.
Okay. Where's he going? For those that are watching on the listening to the audio, Max has pivoted with his Cyberpunk share, which he only regrets buying mostly. He's currently digging through the back of his shelf. I appreciate him not getting up to do it because Max has a history of pants that expose an unnecessary amount of butt crack. So by him choosing to slide the chair, that did reduce the chance of us seeing Max Cooper's butt cheeks. But speaking of, what do you got there?
You say that and I've got like...
Oh, these are your Final Fantasy cards.
These are my Final Fantasy cards.
Now, didn't we get them from a fucking show once?
Now, I got one deck from a show once. I then proceeded to buy way more. Yeah, because they were giving away pre-constructed starter decks at PAX, the first year I went to PAX. Josh and I played. Josh was still part... That is how long ago.
Oh, that is... That's a throwback. Holy shit.
Josh was still the co-host at the time. We sat down and played a game together. We took our decks home, and I proceeded to buy a shitload of more cards. Yeah. And then, obviously, as I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, I fell back hard into Magic the Gathering Arena. So I've been playing it daily to get in my daily wins, to get the my daily gold, much like yourself in WWE, to get those virtual trading cards. And I've been doing some research, and the Commander format sounds fun. I have friends who still play.
I've heard good things about the Commander decks. Apparently, it's like super easy pick up and play.
Well, they're all singleton decks, so you can only have one of each card type.
Okay,
you can't run duplicates. 100 card deck, boom, done. Now they sell pre-constructed Commander decks, and there's a set of four coming out mid-June, called Dawn of the Horizon 3, essentially, and they've got four pre-constructed decks. Now my local JB store's like had them at the best price, but the catch is, you don't get to pick which of the four decks. We will randomly assign you one. I'm like, well, I have no interest in three of the four. I just want the one. But I can't order the one that I want because they're like, well, lucky dip. Fuckers.
Also, so I got distracted and I was like, oh, I want to see how much like the Magic the Gathering Fallout sets are, just comparison. I opened Gameology. I just Googled. I didn't go to the website.
Yeah.
And the first thing, it's like, hey, there's a Metal Gear Solid board game. I'm like, get the fuck out. Because I remember playing this at PAX 1,000 years ago, and then it got canned because they lost the license or whatever. So that's fucking cool that's back.
I was actually at EB yesterday having a look to see what Commander decks they had in stock.
Mm-hmm.
They've got two of the Fallout Commander decks.
Yeah.
The dog meat.
So,
and one of the other ones.
Just out of curiosity, so I'm looking at these Commander decks now. So I'm there. Oh, you can buy all four of them for $310. Get excited!
Yeah, I don't have $310.
Fuck, neither do I. So do you know exactly, like, when you look at these, do you know exactly what's in them, or will it kind of be little booster packs? How does it work?
So my understanding is it's a pre-constructed deck of 100 cards, and you get, I think, two booster packs with it.
Okay, yes. So each deck includes one ready-to-play deck of 100 magic cards, two traditional foil, 98 non-foils, a collector booster sample pack.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay, okay. Because I kind of like the booster aspect, but if you want to actually play, these make sense.
Yeah. So they also sell... they're really cheap. They're like $25, and they're called starter decks. And they generally comes with two pre-constructed decks, but it's not for the Commander format. It's for the basic format. So they're 60 card decks. So you get 120 cards in a pack, cost you $25, and you and your friend can try it out for a cheap point of entry, essentially. which is another way to go. But I played Magic back in the day. I know how to play. I've never played the Commander format, which is what's got me interested at the moment. That's not available on Arena. And the other thing is, most of the pre-constructed decks will come with an Arena code, so I can punch that in, and then I will own all those cards on my digital account as well, so I can use them online when I'm playing
things
digitally.
Things that you do just to get fucking digital cards,
man. Oh, you gotta fucking justify it now.
Holy God. Okay, so I'm scrolling through Gameology, because obviously, I did a sneaky. And when we're watching these videos early before the show, but hey, here are trading card booster videos. They're really cool. And knowing that, like, my partner's, you know, she's interested in wrestling at a surface level enough to be like, get her attention. And like, I have no point if I actually communicated what their prices are, because that'd be dumb. I'm just scrolling through Gameology, and I'm looking at the Magic Fallout booster box, a collector booster box. So it has... let me see. I'm going to say it's about 12.
I think it's 12. I think it's 12 boosters with 15
12
cards
boosters,
each.
15 bucks, 15 cards each one, 12 packs. Have a ballpark guess, Max, even though I'm sure you know the answer.
I believe they're about 380.
$950 according to Gameology.
Oh, is that the... Oh, because it's the Fallout one.
Yeah.
Yeah,
$950 for 12 packs of cards. Because I know,
but if you pull, but I mean, to be fair, a Magic the Gathering card just sold like last week for $3 million. Like, just one card. Like, don't be a bitch.
Small investment. Absolutely small investment, then, is what you're saying. Jerdman, the OG NFTs. Holy shit, you are absolutely kind of correct, eh? Look, it's a dangerous thing. I really would like to fuck with more card games. It's the same reason that I fell in love with like My Faction and stuff. But it is an expensive thing to get into. And as you said, like the challenge that I have, but it's also the massive appeal, I don't know why we're derailing on this, is because it's like the, I think we talk trading cards at least for about 5 minutes every week for the last almost month and a half.
We're trying to psych ourselves into getting
some. We are.
Some.
And like, I think the idea is if we talk to each other enough, we'll both go, yeah, you know what, we fucking should. Like, why not, right?
We deserve it.
Yeah, even today you went, hey, here's a link for an Australian place where you can buy the WWE cards. Like, you're fueling me so that I can fuel you. And it's dangerous, and I love it. But seriously, if there was like some PlayStation themed ones, I'd buy them at goddamn heartbeat.
I mean, that's the thing. So one of my friends, Cass, he's really into Pokemon cards, and he's like whenever he pulls something good, he'd be like, oh, look, I pulled this card. It's worth $400. I'm like, so? Are you going to sell it? He's like, no. I'm like, it's not worth $400 then, is it?
It's one of those things where someone said to me, someone's like, oh, what's all this stuff behind you worth? I'm like, I don't fucking care because I'm not selling it. Like, yeah. It's worth what it is to me. And to me, it means a lot. In this, you know, I turn around, like when I work in here during the day, I turn around and I look at this and I go, yeah. And I feel happy because each one of these is a memory. You know, it's, you know, like, as weird as it is, this little Butters pop vinyl looks like my son when he was little. And I love it. Every time I look at it, I giggle, right? And then, of course, you have to have the full set and the blah, and with my love for PlayStation as a whole, like, I just had, you know, I look into this room and I feel happy. Mostly because my brain's fucking dumb. So, I guess to extend to our silly ideas of food in the chat... Actually, no, bad idea. Shouldn't ask the chat what we should do, because I'm pretty sure they'll just go, spend money. Because, like, they're not us. They're fine. But look, off the back of that, we're not really playing any games right now. It's kind of in this weird quiet time. So, like, for me, as an example, I have still been playing more Fallout 76. Ha! Shock! What a fucking twist. I'm at level 42 now. Having a blast. Having an absolute goddamn blast. Oh, I'm playing more of it. Have I bought Fallout first yet? Nope. But am I thinking about it? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Because it's fun. So instead, you, Max, have been retreading an old game this week.
Yeah, I've been playing the shit out of Diablo 4. Mm. So a couple of weeks ago, Season 4 started. Season 4 is titled Loot Reborn. And they fixed every problem that I had with the game. So I'm back so, so hard. So one of the big problems that I had with Diablo 4 starting was their Codex of Power. So essentially, when you got a legendary piece of gear that dropped, they're like, hey, here's a really cool aspect. You can take that aspect off that piece of gear and put it on something else if you wish. But once you've done that once, you can't do it again. You've got to refine that aspect. In this season, it gets added to your an actual Codex of Power, and you can reuse the same thing over and over again. And the only way it goes away is if you get a better version of it. And it just replaces it with the better version for all time. And you can use it an unlimited amount of time. So you can kind of trial different builds. You're like, hey, I've got a piece of gear over here that's going to be better over here. And you just move it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you... So the other big change is they brought the Necromancer back to life. He's good again.
The irony in that. The beautiful.
So for the first three seasons, the gimmick with the Necromancer is you can summon all these skelly bros, the boys, as I refer to them.
The boys.
So there's melee boys, ranged boys, golem boys. For the first three seasons, you would sacrifice them, giving you a bonus to attack power, health, defense, whatever it was. For the first three seasons, you never played with the boys because they were useless. This season, they're like, 100% of your stats are on the boys.
But I'm sorry, but isn't the whole point of the Necromancer? Like, I remember when you were playing Diablo 2, it's like, have lots of dudes.
Yes, the whole point was you had a fucking menagerie of skeletal warriors that fucked everyone up.
A
menagerie of boys.
That is an EP if I've ever heard one. Like, that's someone's album.
So, yeah, and like, you can, as Jared mentions, you can re-roll all your stats, all your aspects. They added in tempering and masterworking, so you can add little extra bonuses to your build that way. So, at the moment, I am building what is referred to as the one-shot golem build. So, essentially, I channel all my abilities to create stacks, and then I push the button, and my golem runs up and punches you in the face and does billions of damage and one-shots everything.
Mm-hmm.
Brilliant. So, all of my pieces of gear adds, like, points to golem mastery, golem damage, summoning damage, damage to weakened enemies, cooldowns for golems, and I'm just mashing that button and just smacking people with my gross bloody golem. It's beautiful. I'm level 99 at the moment. Level cap is 100. I'm like right there. I have beaten almost all the end game bosses now. I've got one left to do. It's been so much fun. So I last played this in season 2 when they made a few changes that I liked. Season 4 has won me back completely. This is what I kind of wanted at launch. They've really listened to their community this time around. They're like, hey, we know that these are the changes you want made. And they've kind of just delivered on that. And it's been fantastic. Every night I'm on, like, you know, we caught up last night for the first time in what feels like years.
And we see each other. It's one of those things. We see each other every week doing this show. We live no less than 15, 20 minutes from each other. And we catch up occasionally, like very rarely, but like last night we properly hang out and we just talked about the same shit we do on the show.
Awesome. Yeah. And like, you know, I spent 3 hours the other night farming a boss to farm another boss to farm another boss. I love it. It tickles the right place in my brain to. Mm. And every time I get a different piece of gear, I'm like, is this the one? Is this the holy grail that I'm looking for?
So you just have like a brain boner for RNG.
Yeah.
Which is, that's just gambling, dude. That's dangerous.
I know.
Do you gamble? Apart from RNG? Because you know that's a risk that you're not willing to take? It. Apart from
fought
that.
It. Yeah. No, gambling's never really been my thing. I've never really.
Interesting.
I don't, you know. Pokies don't do it for me.
See, I do find that interesting because I'm in the same way. Like, my ADHD brain goes, you should, like, impulsively buy all the things. And then my anxiety goes, don't do that because that's a fucking horrible decision. And the anxiety always wins, thankfully. Thankfully. But, yeah, okay, interesting. So, because obviously we got Jerdman here in the chat, a good friend of the show, and they're essentially rerunning Diablo 4 now as well. So was it the main reason that you jumped back in was simply because they've done a new season? And did they mention that they made these changes, or did you just I'm going to check this out?
Before each season, they hold a fireplace whatever the fuck they call it. It's essentially like a Vidoc of what they're doing, and they outline the season.
Mm.
And they're like, hey, minions are good again. I'm like, fuck yeah, I'm back.
Yeah.
But they had me with just that. And then, yeah, all these other changes came in as well. I'm like, hey, this is great. You know, it kind of streamlines everything. Once you've beaten the base game, you can skip the campaign for seasonal characters. You don't have to redo all the bullshit. You kind of just get straight into the grind. One of the other things that they added, so up until this season, they had an event called the Helltide, where every hour or so, for an hour time period, there would be the Legions of Hell would kind of come out, and you would just slay them out. You'd get high-end gear by purchasing and unlocking chests with the currency that the enemies dropped. They've now made them permanent. They've got like 5-minute downtime instead of an hour.
Mm.
And they're also available in the lower world tiers to help level you up in that initial, you know, 0 to 50. Because to get to the next tier of, the next world tier, to get to the higher gear, you have to beat what's called the capstone dungeon. So to get from world tier 2 to 3, you at level 50, you can go to the capstone dungeon. Once you beat the boss in there, you can get to world tier 3. You at 75 is the next dungeon set, and then from 75 to 100, you're in world tier 4. Necromancers were so broken this season, I soloed the level 50 capstone at level 23.
Mm-hmm.
And I did the level 75 capstone dungeon at like level 40. And just went straight to end game. I think we beat our first end game boss at level 70, and they're all set at level 100. Yeah, it's the season of the Necro. Like, it really is. Every other person you see is just a Necro. You go to a world boss summon that happens every hour, there's just fucking 50 dudes with skelly boys everywhere. The whole screen chugs.
Oh yeah, that would break the best PC I feel.
It fucking chugs.
But you mentioned endgame. Now, I want to touch upon something. Now, we're in the early days. We don't have all the information yet. We had a little teaser last week of Vidoc, as you referred mm-hmm. to it, of Destiny 2, the final shape. It comes out literally next week.
Yeah, next Tuesday.
Yeah, so at the time of release, it is literally next week. We have reached out to the team at Double Jump, which is they handle it here. You've got your in-advance code. Can't do shit with it until it launches. But there's another little video coming tomorrow at day of release.
Yeah.
You have talked longingly around the fact that you're back into Destiny. And we'll touch upon more of this next week, because we'll have to talk about the second doc, and then we're heading into that. But Max, with the release of this little video presentation, where are you sitting now? I want to do a hype check between from now, next week, and then week one. Like, because this is 10 years in the making for you.
So I've been hyped for about, I'm going to say about a month, I think, was when they first dropped the final shape preview, where they kind of gave us that hint of the, like the prismatic classes where you can run dual subclasses and all that stuff. And that got me really hyped, because it's what we've always wanted. They're like, the freedom to kind of pick and choose from each thing, do a little bit over here, do a little bit over there. They've talked about like new one-off supers that you'll get on top of your standard super of your subclass. But yeah, it's just that. I mean, from memory, Destiny was the first game I purchased on PS4.
Mm-hmm.
I have been playing this game for 10 years. In that 10 years, I've had 2 children. I've gotten married. I now own my own house. Like, I've been playing Destiny for more than almost a lot of other things I've done in my life, which is, some might say, a little bit sad. but, you know, I've had my on and off periods as well, like everything else in life. There's times where I've stepped away when I've, you know, felt down after an expansion or a DLC that's come out. I'm like, hey, this is... I've always played, like, the story, like, the campaign for each of them, but the seasonal activities haven't kept me around long enough to see it through. The biggest drop-off was between Destiny 1 and Destiny 2, when a lot of my original Destiny crew kind of fell off the game. They're like, hey, we're not moving across anymore. So it's just me and Noodle still left of the original team. So a lot of the stuff I do is played with pickup groups now, doing like Destiny LFGs and all that stuff to play with random people to get raids done. A lot of the content we do, we will do duo now. So when a new dungeon releases, it's a 3-man activity. We will play it as a 2-man.
Mm-hmm.
We won't bother getting a third in because, like most things, the online community can be quite toxic. I have very little patience at the best of times. And I feel that for the most part, we've never really struggled enough to be like, hey, we really need that third.
Mm.
Like, let's just get it done. But from what we've seen going through like last week's Fire Doc, there's a part 2 coming this week. I'm very hopeful that they're going to be able to stick the landing. It's one of those things like 10 years of hype is a lot to live up to.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of expectations, especially on the back of Lightfall not hitting as well as it did. But then the previous expansion was brilliant. Bungie's track record is very hit and miss, and the shame of it is the highs are really high, but the lows are really low. There's no like middle of the ground mediocrity. It's either the best thing ever or this is absolutely horrendous. So, you know, they have shown off a few of the new enemy types. They've shown off a bit of the new location. We kind of know where it's going in the fact that like the Witness is now the ultimate big bag. We're going to get there. It's how they deliver the wrap up and what they do after. Are they going to step away from? Because they've said that this is going to be the end of the Light and Dark Saga or whatever they've called it. I'm pretty sure it's the Light and Dark or the Darkness and Light Saga. Does that mean that they're going to do a Destiny 3 and it's going to tell a different story? Or are they going to make Destiny a platform and you'll be able to play through all of it and they'll just keep vaulting content as it gets too big to store on a fucking hard drive locally? Because, you know, they've talked about doing... They're moving away from seasons to episodes, I believe they're referring to them as now. So there's stuff planned for after this. I just hope that they nail this. Like, they delayed it from a February launch to a June launch.
Now that you say, I completely forgot that it was, yeah, like a substantial delay.
Yeah, like they normally launch at the end of Feb, like between the 23rd and the 28th is normally their release date. They pushed it back to June. I hope they've taken the time to give it what it deserves.
Mm.
Because, yeah, it's one of those things that, like I said, you know, 10 years of anticipation to see where this is going. Like, you'd hate to beef it at the end.
Yeah. As you mentioned, it is a lot of pressure. And especially for individuals like yourself who have been here all the way through. So I played Destiny 2 at launch and I enjoyed it. But for whatever reason, I think it was because of its reliance on continuous, like, coming back and keep going, which I can't deliver.
But see, they're getting rid of that in the final shape. It's now fire team power, not individual power. So for instance, let's just... I can't even think of... I think, like, 1,800 is the cap at the moment, or 1,900.
We'll just go with that for sake, yeah.
But for sake... So if you join, you're the fire team leader, or the highest person in the fire team is set as the power level gap, essentially, and you'll be set 5 power levels below me.
So if you're 1,800, I'd be what?
So you'd be 1,795.
Oh, okay, that's not bad. So in my head, it was like 5 levels, as in like 5 blocks, but no, literally 5. Okay.
So, but if you open your character and say your power level 1,600, you'd be boosted up to 1,795, but the gear that would drop for you would still be at the 1,600s.
Yeah, I was going to say, how would that work from a respec and or gear space?
It doesn't power level you. It just changes your damage numbers to represent someone closer to my level so you're not lagging behind. So it's that incentive to be like, hey, come back and play with me. You can jump straight into the new stuff. You don't have to dick around with all the other stuff. Everything's unlocked for you now as you come in. You can play with your friends that have dipped for a little while, and they're not going to feel like so overwhelmed by playing the content, because they're going to be automatically leveled to be able to participate and to actually be worthwhile having there, as opposed to just being like dead weight, so to speak.
Interesting. Well, look, it's exciting times, Max. It's the culmination, as I mentioned. Like, you know, I mentioned Endgame, but like, you know, in the figurative sense of it finishing, but also in the comparative sense of Marvel's Endgame with the MCU, right? That, you know, we just saw, for something that interests me a bit more, we just saw as WWE essentially do their version of Marvel's Endgame with the closing of the Cody Rhodes and Roman Reigns storyline, and that did it. It finished in this big boom, and it was incredible. And it had, you know, dips along the way, just like Destiny. However, you know, this is a little bit different because it's obviously a lot more interactive. It's not dictated entirely by one source. But I don't know. I'm really interested to see, because in the chat, MGB mentions that they'll probably, Bungie would likely be focusing and shifting towards Marathon. But once again, as you mentioned, the closure of the saga indicates that if they ever did wish to return, they totally could in Destiny 3 down the line. Or the idea of as a platform kind of confronts me, because as you mentioned, from the dip in and dip out sensibility of it, it's kind of hard. But the greater concern on that I'm sure, as you experienced with Destiny 1 to 2, the amount of drop-off was substantial, right? Yeah. Within your mates. So like, and once again, if you look at the people that played Destiny 2 day one compared to now, like, I imagine those numbers are staggeringly different, like exponentially less. So hopefully there's a big flux at the end. Hopefully there's a big payoff. And also, so, you know, sneakily, hope PlayStation, you know, this pays off so it's worth the purchase. But it's exciting times. I said, we'll be back next week, as we always do. We'll have more after that the video, Vidoc, see where you stand. And then, of course, the week after, also, spoilers, episode might come out a day late. I'm working the two wrestling shows over the long weekend, three wrestling shows potentially over the long weekend. Might not be able to schedule a time to record. But it's going to be exciting. Very keen, very, very keen to see where you go, because you have the ability to like love shit or just bury it. And for me, that is nothing but intriguing. And I also want to see how like nostalgia and the expectation of it all, I guess, in terms of I want this to be good, so I'm going to like find the good in it. But, you know, from my experience of working with you and doing the show, you're very good at keeping somewhat objective in certain factors when need be.
Yeah, June is a full-on month, because it's front-ended with Destiny Final Shape, and it's back-ended with Shadows of the Erdtree.
Oh, yeah, shit, get excited. For you.
Oh, yeah, I'm super keen.
See, like, I'm at this moment right now where I don't have a game that is, you know, like a new game, I should say, that's getting me excited, right? Like, if I look to what's coming out, there's really nothing that's tickling me as I think about it this very second.
Are you just before you get too far into it, are you going to play Hellblade 2? I have it installed, ready to go. I just haven't found it.
I need to go. I want to play Hellblade 1 again,
because part of me wants to do it in a single setting.
Yeah,
because I don't think it's that long.
It's like 5-6 hours. Yeah.
I'm just curious if it's on your radar at all.
It is most definitely on my radar. Because I enjoyed what I didn't ever finish the first one, because I got to a point I was trying to like go along the way and like trophy, you know, and like get all the collectibles, and I skipped one about halfway through. I'm like, fuck this noise. So I just left. I shouldn't have, because it was really great. But I do want to go back and finish it. I would love to play, you know, Hellblade 2. Right now, obviously not on PlayStation platforms, but it is coming at some point, right? It's going to happen. But I would love to see it on my PC, you know, where it look at its incredible beauty.
Apparently, their next title's already been greenlit.
Yeah, apparently Hellblade 3 has been greenlit, and their other one called Project Mara or something, I think was the code name for it, which is interesting, because that's a whole other side discussion. Around sort of what's the fucking studio's name, Ninja Theory, yep. Sort of, what, you know, especially the back of like Hi-Fi Rush and Tango and the closure of like Tango and Arcane, and with Tango, I think should have been the one that like stayed open. Not saying that Ninja Theory should have closed, but like looking at least at the critically and commercially, Hellblade 2 seems to be a staggeringly less of a success than Hi-Fi Rush. So it's a bizarre thing. However, if the game is as beautiful as everyone says, it could just be a circumstance of... I know I've seen this comparison a lot on the socials, is its comparisons of The Order 1886, right? A visually impressive game for the time, but it was relatively shallow for what you should have experienced, what your expectations of what you're playing. So I would love to experience this, once again, with the idea that is this the potential of where games can go in a visual standpoint, which is fantastic. However, if it's not backed up by that good shit, it's nothing but a tech demo. And I would like it to be more than that, if possible. But we'll wait and see. You know, it's wherever it's at. But as I mentioned, there's no real new games that are like really jumping at me. Nothing's going, oh, Ryan, you should play this when it comes out in 3 weeks or whatever, right? So my son has been, you know, in love with Cuphead for the longest time. He's finally shifted. He has been watching the Harry Potter movies with his mum at his place. And as a result, Hogwarts Legacy is now enjoying the conversation for him. Now, because he's 7, he has no understanding of the controversy or alleged controversy around the game. Spoilers, the controversy is not around the game. It's around an individual that created the thing, not the game. So chill the fuck out. so we spent, no joke, he was here, what? He came here 5 o'clock Friday night. I took him back to his mum's 5 o'clock Sunday night, including sleeping time. We spent a bit of time away today at my partner's parents. He's put like fucking 13 hours in Hogwarts over not even 2 days. Like, he's smashed the shit out of it. And it's been awesome. Like, we've been playing it together, sort of like, you know, because there are some things he has a bit of a tough time with. And it's totally on me, like, in terms of, you know, MGB and the chat goes, Jesus. And it's one of those things where this is one of the first weekends that we really had it at home time.
You were like, just thank fuck I'm not playing Cuphead anymore.
Well, yeah, that too. But it's also, you know, we're always out doing something, whether it be a wrestling show or whatever. I'm like, this is the first kind of Saturday that we're just going to stay at home. And I know it's a bad idea to let a 7-year-old sit in front of a PlayStation for 13 hours over a weekend, but it's different because it's not something he's doing alone. It's something he's doing with me, and we're doing it together, and we're sharing it together. I'm helping him, you know, we're together, we're you know, helping him get better at reading as he's, you know, all these little communications and written notes and stuff, and we're doing it together. And it's just a fun experience. So that if we think about in years from now, he'll look back and go, I remember the time that Dad and I spent an entire weekend playing Hogwarts. It was awesome. And that's what it's all for, right? So we've been doing that, fuck-assing around, doing Harry Potter nonsense. And we said it at the time because we still reviewed the game because you're a huge Harry Potter fan. I'm a huge fan growing up. The game is still brilliant. Like, it really, really is. And so much so that I'm thinking maybe just to stop playing Fallout for a while, I'll finish my run of Hogwarts. Because I'm like,
yeah, you got pretty close to the end, and you, for whatever reason, fell off.
Oh, yeah, I'm like level 30 something. According to the PlayStation thingy, I'm at like 70%. And I was like, oh, I'm sorry. Like, I've done 3 of the 4 towers or whatever. And I think I just got distracted. I was like, because I kind of ran it all in a short window of time, I just got kind of meh about it.
Yeah.
But like, seeing the world again, fuck arsing around in my broom, checking out this sweet hippogriff, and then apparently there's a third mount that I didn't know about because I haven't hit it yet. I'm like, oh, cool. And then the collectible nature of the game is really fun. I want to get all the pages and all that. And like, maybe it will tickle the same part of my brain that I'm getting out of Fallout 76 of just exploring a cool world, collecting things along the way. And granted, I can kind of replicate the building aspect with my room of requirement, but once again, disregarding J.K. Rowling's nonsense, which we objectively disagree with, from a fundamental trans rights space. Just because she's a garbage person, it's one of those things, like, garbage people can make the greatest things. Like, we think about all the great... I make this joke all the time because it makes me laugh. We think about all the greatest achievements that the world has ever made. All, like, the seven wonders of the world have all been built by garbage people utterly disrespecting humans and just throwing corpses at it. Like, hey, slaves, build this fucking pyramid. And it made something cool. When was the last time we made something cool? Never. Because we treat people nicely. It's been ages. Which is a good thing from a greater development as a human race. But... yeah, she has created an incredibly compelling world. And the team at Avalanche have taken that world and made it even better. Because I you know, we talked about when the game came out, like, when you walk through those doors at Hogwarts and you know, these locations we've only ever imagined as we've read them, it's all been ideas in our heads, and until the movies came out, even then they didn't. Some movies, like, altered the layout of Hogwarts, whenever it fit the film. So in the same way that the South Park games are brilliant, like Stick of Truth and The Fractured Butthole, because you finally get to see how South Park is laid out, same goes for this. I'm like, oh, okay, cool. Well, I'm as a Hufflepuff, I'm like, oh, cool. My common room would be down here, and I like that this is here and that's there. And then also getting to expand out into the greater Hogwarts area, not what it's called. Go to Hogsmeade and all the surrounding little communities. Like, it's tons of fun to really just fuck around and explore. What are you chuckling at?
The Shire of Greater Hogwarts.
Yeah, the Shire of Greater Hogwarts. You know. Yeah, the Council of Not Hogwarts. You know, it's cool. It's fucking cool. And, like, magic is rad. And, you know, it bums me out that, like, the game got a bad rap, but also, spoilers, it was one of the most successful selling games of the year. So all the people that allegedly hated on it, pretty sure they played it. Because how can it sell that many copies? Just saying. But my son, Ravenclaw, apparently, at head home, he's a Ravenclaw. But apparently, you can just straight up select what house you want to be in.
You 100% can.
Well, I didn't. I went with what it said. And so I get a phone call. Like, I drop him off at his mum's. You know, before I left, I help him because she was making dinner for him. He's like, I want to make Mummy. Like, okay, so we made Mummy in the game. Looks pretty much like her. It was fantastic. And then I drive home. Come back, I get in my car, video call immediately. He's like, Daddy, Mummy's in Gryffindor. Oh, really? That's cool. Because, yeah, she was meant to be in Ravenclaw, but I changed it. Because we haven't seen what the Gryffindor common room looks like.
To be fair, out of all of them, it's probably the one that he has seen the most, especially in movies.
Yeah, and, like, yeah, well, he's only, you know, just tipping, like, he's dipping his toes in the movies for the first proper time. Like, enough to be functional and know what's going on. Like, I've got the Harry Potter picture books over there as well, so I would love to read them with him, because I bought them with the, like, once he was born, and they started releasing them. Oh, you've got the fold-out books, yeah?
Yeah.
I've got the picture books, like the big, thick bastards, like the illustrated ones. It's awesome. Like, once he was born, I was like, and they released, I'm like, I am buying these every year, up until they haven't released in the last two. I'm like, every year I will buy these because one day I want to sit down with him and share a franchise that was so massive to me growing up. You know, back when I would read a lot more. So to be able to do that now is incredible, and it's brilliant. And I'm sure you'll love to do it one day with both Hadley and Chadley. There are some... Look, some days I totally fucking forget your son's name.
Ollie's going to get older one day and just come and smack the shit out of you for calling him Chadley constantly.
No doubt, because there are times where I go, yeah, Hadley and Chadley. Wait, that's not his name. Wow, what's his name? Which is bizarre, because James was going to be Oliver until the day he was born. Then he became James. So yeah, it's a cool thing to be able to, like, to do and experience, and the game's great, and maybe this is what I'll go back to. Maybe this will fill that void.
Cool.
Maybe.
Well, if you want something else to fill the void, hot, just before they leave, here are the games that are leaving.
Oh, before you get there, Max, I appreciate your attempt of the transition, but You got to remember, this is where we say, this is the section called Inform the Players. We tell you about what happened this week in PlayStation.
How fucking segues work, you piece of shit. We went over this 20 minutes ago.
But the segment has a name, Max. You should have been like, it's great that you informed your son about the world of Harry Potter, just like we're going to inform you all about what happened this week in PlayStation. That is an average segue.
Anyway, normally we talk about the games coming to PlayStation Plus. This week, here is a bunch of games that are leaving the service next month. We have Brothers, A Tale of Two Sons, DC Super Pets.
Okay, this is the first one. This is the best part, right? So I didn't really pay attention to the title of this. I just went, oh, PS Plus, cool. And I had a look and I was like, oh, Brothers, A Tale of Two Sons. That's the Hazelight game. That'd be sick. I'd play that. And you're like, yeah, man, it's leaving in like this month. I'm like, oh, maybe I won't play it then because I clearly was not excited about it. I just like the principle of it, I guess.
We have got Dodgeball Academia. GTA 5 is leaving. Indivisible.
Yeah, you can't have Red Dead and GTA 5, Max.
Monster Jam Steel Titans. MotoGP 23. Ryan, would you like to take a guess at what next game is?
What the fuck is this game? Okay, I'm going to spell it out for you playing at home. SBSP semicolon. Semicolon? Colon. Well, I'll get them to
mix. Colon.
Colon. B4BBR. So, SBSP. What the fuck is this game, Max?
It's SpongeBob SquarePants Battle for Bikini Bottom Rehydrated.
Why did you just not write that? Instead, you gave me a stroke.
Because that was faster.
You could have just wrote SpongeBob Bikini on a bill. Oh, yeah, SpongeBob Battle Bikini Bottom. What a game. That game's great.
The Talos Principle Deluxe Edition.
That is objectively almost as long as SpongeBob, and you wrote that out in full.
The Wild at Heart. Unturned and Baja Edge of Control HD, which is a premium title. The rest are just extras.
Look, you're not missing a whole lot. This is the other thing.
GTA is a big one to come off the service.
Yeah, but once again, with GTA 6 right around the corner.
I'm pretty sure everyone owns GTA 5.
Yeah. What did I see the other day? 300 million copies sold or something ridiculous. Also, shout out to Reverend Puck, by the way. For those of you, you know, not joining us on the live stream, they have just been absolutely loading up the chat with utter food nonsense. We've got blood corn, like Bloodborne, but corn. So if you find a shop that only sells corn, boom, there you go. There was one that gave me the real good giggles before. Siphon Fritters, I did like that one. That was really good from Siphon Filter. That one, I tickled my brain real hard. Bread Stranding.
But the other thing is that none of them have been, like, puns.
Yeah, none of them have been gimmick names. It's all been like, hey, this is a representative of the game. So this is actually a way better idea, but I don't think they would do the puns.
I think you did something for Marvel Spider-Man, but I feel like that would just be in an ice cream shop and you'd literally make spiders.
Oh, that'd be a good one. Or some sort of New York base.
Like floats, as what everyone else calls them in the world.
I think it could be like New York, obviously New York themed. So maybe like the pepperoni pizza, but the pepperonis are shaped like little spiders, you know, or it's got like black symbiote ooze on it, like squid ink. Maybe that's a thing. Hot.
So yeah, as of May 2024, Grand Theft Auto 5 has sold over 200 million units worldwide.
Park comes back with its Marvel Spider-Man.
Yeah.
That would work, actually. I would really be interested in that. yeah, nothing that really makes me sad. But yeah. Nah, nothing in there. Once again, as we always talk about, you and I, beautifully entitled in the world that we live in, lots of privilege. We have all these games access to whenever we kind of want. And we look at this and we go, oh, we've played most of these, who cares?
I mean, some of them are bangers.
Oh, some of them are bangers, but I already played them, so I'm not real sad they're going anywhere. oh, this show is chaos. Let's get into the next bit, which is called The Future of PlayStation, says Max. Sony's just held a corporate strategy meeting in a bid to outline its plans for its company's future. Pardon me. And this is a Sony-wide, not just PlayStation, but Sony is a larger brand. Mm. But in a separate interview with PlayStation Productions boss Asad Quizzlebash, Quizzlebash, dope name by the way, should be in Harry Potter. That's interesting. In an interview, I'm just going to call him Asad. In the interview, Asad is asked about what he thinks the future looks like for PlayStation and gaming in general, and his thoughts are actually quite eye-opening. Right off the bat, he says, quote, "In terms of gaming's future, I envision games becoming more personalized due to advances in technology and AI, enabling customized experiences for each player," end quote. Editorial, "That sounds fucking horrible." End editorial. Essentially, Asad reckons that video games are going to become more and more about grabbing people emotionally hot through enhancements to storytelling and design that tries to speak directly to the player. Quote, "Technological advancements will enhance emotional depth in games by allowing characters to be much more emotive and expressive, fostering more evocative storytelling that's going to help a whole generation of creators be able to just create so much more emotion in their stories," he predicts. He also adds, "The focus is going to shift from graphics or visuals to immersive narratives that resonate long after the controller is set down." Asad also believes that we've turned a bit of a corner when it comes to adapting games into his line of work, film and TV. Quote, "I truly believe some of the most imaginative worlds and creative stories are coming from video games. A sea change is coming where all the great creators are really leaning into video games, since many of them grew up playing games themselves," end quote. So it sounds like Asad thinks that the two mediums are already intertwined, and it's only going to become harder to separate them. He adds, "I believe technology will democratize storytelling, making it more accessible and inexpensive for creators, and Sony is uniquely positioned to facilitate that. With the level of fidelity in video games now, there's an opportunity to repurpose assets from games for animation and live-action films, leveraging Sony's volumetric and virtual production capabilities." He also adds, "Gaming engines like Unreal are expanding beyond games and beyond, and being used for visual." "Gaming engines like Unreal are expanding beyond games and being used for virtual production, enabling creators to focus on storytelling rather than logistical constraints." So what he's highlighting there at that second last quote is essentially what we saw with the Ratchet and Clank movie, where they pulled pretty much cinematics from the game and then use it to make the movie. It's a shame that no one saw the movie, myself included, because it does look pretty cool. But I guess we'll touch on whichever part you'd like, Max, but the interesting thing for me is the idea of customized experiences for each player. One, that sounds gross because that can be used in a positive way or a manipulative way. And for an example, this is already done within mobile gaming when it comes to microtransactions. So the prices of the packs within the game, like whether it be the gems or what other garbage currency they've decided to create for this game, the price of those packs does fluctuate on your gaming habits. It looks at how you play, whether you spend or not, with the intention of, we are going to do this and until we find the key to incentivize you, and then we've got you. That's the plan. So they'll tweak the part, they'll tweak the bundles, they'll tweak the pricing. Next thing you know, you see this unmatched deal for $3.99 of all the gems and bullshit you need, and you go, ooh, press. And if they want to use AI and algorithms, which I know they already do for most things, Max, I'm a little sick of my fucking algorithm in Spotify. I love the music that I love, but very rarely does it go outside like 500 songs that I know and love. And if you want to talk, and then on top of that, my YouTube feed, like all these different things I have are completely tailor-made to me, which is cool, but I'm a weirdo that likes to step outside my shit.
So it's really funny that you bring up the Spotify Smart Shuffle, because my wife fucking hates it. She's like, if I wanted this fucking shit in my playlist, it'd fucking be there. Yeah. Stop forcing your shit on me. I love it, because I forget to put shit in my playlist all the time. Like, I fucking love this song.
Yeah, see, I don't have my own playlist. I use the mixes, right? And the mixes are like, oh. And even then, like, I start searching through playlists that, like, they seem... in like, oh, this is like drive, you know, afternoon drive, that looks cool, or you know songs from the 90s. I'm like, oh, cool. But because they're made by Spotify, the algorithms are wrapped in them. So what am I getting? More of the same fucking songs that I love, absolutely, but sometimes I want new shit, and this Taylor for You stuff is garbage. I'm sick of it.
Look, I think that using an algorithm to change the way a person experiences a game would be quite difficult. Because the only big key change that would like that would drastically change someone's viewpoint in a game is having a different story play out and be like, hey, did you experience this in your playthrough? No, I didn't experience it. So it brings back the like of The Quarry and all those styles of games where your decisions will change the outcome of the game. They're cool. I like those games. But they're very...
But also, spoilers, I made some shit choices in that game and it made it ass, right? Like, compared to what you did in that game, I'm like, that's way better.
But that was your decision to make. Like, you...
Yeah, what I'm saying is me, if I was a good creative, if I was
But the other thing
the
is...
The average... I'll let you finish and then I'll shit on things.
Because the other thing is, I'll stick on this. The other thing is we both played the game differently. Mm. You played the game as you are impersonating that character.
The character types, yes. What they would, the it would make sense for them, yes.
I sat in the director's chair. So I play those games very differently to you. So we would have a different experience no matter what it was going to be. It would be weird to have that much of a variety, especially in story-driven games, which is what it seems to be what they're leading towards here. To have vastly different outcomes on a story due to algorithmic bullshit. Do I think they should repurpose assets from their games to add to animation and live action films? Yes, that's a fucking no-brainer.
That's so smart.
Like, do it. Why would you not? It seems silly not to. But as for technology democratizing storytelling and making it different, that maybe is a little bit of a, you know, not necessarily going to happen anytime soon.
Yeah. So to expand on your point around like each person having a tailored experience, it sounds really cool on paper, but from a review standpoint, that's very difficult. And two, apart from everyone that's in this show, listens to this show, that consumes this show, I mean, even these randos that may listen to the show, hi, lovely to meet you, thank you. Everyone else is a fucking idiot, right? Like the average person fucking sucks. So tailoring an experience to the average person's an idiot. Not a good idea because like, especially from a product that is a creative vision, right? Like games, movies, books, music, storytelling, it is best when it isn't like not made for you, but when it like goes against you in some ways or makes you think at things differently, right? Like in the same way that, you know, I said I like viewing, watching, listening to things that go against my ideologies, that go against my morals, because to me it helps me either formulate a new version of my current morals or look at the things that I have stances on in a different perspective. And if everything just matches exactly what I like, where is the growth for me as a person? Right? Now, in that same breath, God of War 2018, God of War Ragnarok. I feel those games are perfect for me. They nail exactly what I love, exactly what I want, and I think it is incredible. But there are other games that that don't match with me that I think should, you know, are brilliant for that exact reason, right? Does that make sense? I feel like I'm talking in roundabouts, but it's just kind of like, I'm trying to find the right wording for the average person's an idiot, don't tailor make it for them, because, you know, we look at, if you go to social media as the voice of the culture, don't, not a good call. But yeah, the reusing assets totally makes sense. Big fan of that. So in the chat here, there is a mention, where are we looking at? Here it is. MGB goes, I just want my games to be fun. Here you go. Stop trying to turn movies into games and games into movies. You don't need to mess with the way we experience this. I just want my games to be fun with gameplay that is enjoyable. I don't want my games to become basically movies. If I want a movie, I'll watch a movie. For fuck's sake, Sony, I get you're a film studio too, but you don't have to make everything film-like. Just look at Astro. It doesn't need a deep story. It just needs to be a fun game. And look, I agree with that in some aspects.
But then you look at the other side of the coin and you bring up like an example of Death Stranding, for instance, yep. Where it is, I mean, there's still action to a degree and control, but for the most part, it is a very cinematic movie, yep. a very cinematic game. You look at the likes of What Remains of Edith Finch and all of those walking simulators. They're still games. You're still interacting. It's light interaction, but it is still telling you a story in a meaningful way. Now, those games aren't for everyone because obviously you've got the Call of Duty chads who are just in it to, you know, blow shit up and fuck yeah. But that's not for everyone. Some people enjoy those walking simulators. For lack of a better term,
Death Stranding is the perfect, because the whole fucking gimmick is walking. So yes,
whereas Death Stranding kind of does sit in the middle, where there is these action set pieces where you kind of do have that combat, you have that interaction, but for the most part, you are walking through such a deep, rich world and environment that's fully fleshed out, and you know each character you meet is, so well set up and introduced, and they all have these deep and meaningful backstories, and the character development as they grow with you, as you progress your journey across what is left of it. It is one of the best experiences I've had playing games, and the majority of my game time, my controller was on my desk and I was just watching.
Yeah. And absolutely. And I completely agree with you. And because I'm in the same boat as you, like in terms of your and my preference for games, you are most definitely more a gameplay driven person than myself. For me, I love story. I love narrative. I love character development. So those games tend to speak to me a bit more because of that experience. But I am also very open to gameplay-driven experiences like Division 2. I adored that game. Can I tell you what happened? Nope. Not at all. Is there a whole story in it? Absolutely. There's a virus. It goes on the money. New York got jacked up. I ran around and collected loot and killed things. It was awesome. So
I decontaminated my guns and I fucked people up.
Yeah. One of the beauties that video games has over movies and TV is that you experience it. You get involved in it. You shape the world. Even if it's linear relatively, you still shape the world because you made the choice to look over there, walk through there, do that. It is it's just by design a more interactive media. And when you've got a studio like Sony, who at least since probably late PS3, this is their bread and butter. Their bread and butter is great narrative-driven franchises, and if that's what you love, brilliant. If it's not, that sucks, but there are 1,000 other games. Like, as an example, was on PS Plus this month, Ghost Runner 2. Looks sick, not for me, but that's okay, because there's another game for me somewhere else. And it is finding that really, really tough balance. And I think if you go into a game knowing that's what you're going to get, so Mute in the chat mentions Metal Gear. Like, yeah, Metal Gear Solid 4 has, like, ridiculous. Like, the final cutscene of that game is an hour and a half. Like, no joke. Like, literally an hour and a half. But if you're going into a Kojima game, you know what you're getting. So for me, big win. Big tick. And I applaud video games for being able to tell stories and create experiences that you simply cannot do in a movie, and you cannot do in a TV series, because it's just not possible. And, you know, once again, we saw this with The Last of Us. They couldn't make a one-for-one because it doesn't work that way. You have to change it for that medium. So another example, Resident Evil Raccoon City. Welcome to Raccoon City. Visually, that game nails the aesthetic of Resident Evil 2. The movie sucked asshole. because it wasn't very good. The story wasn't there. And it's not because Resident Evil doesn't have good stories. It's just it's difficult to translate that over to it. So it's interesting where, like, once again, yeah, what you know, like, for me, it's why I love PlayStation. If I didn't like story-based things, I assure you, I'm probably not going to be a PlayStation fan in the same way.
There you go.
Oh, what have we got?
Metal Gear Solid 4 holds the Guinness World Record for longest cutscene sequence at 71 minutes.
Yeah, it's brutal. Mm. But I fucking loved it. Yeah, it's just, once again, it's going in knowing what you know, and yeah, there are some things that can't translate. Like, when they're like, we're making a battleship movie, I'm like, are you dumb? Are you dumb? And they were dumb, and the movie was also really dumb. So, yeah. The idea that... also dumb. You know, the idea that anything can translate, yeah, you got to pick and choose, find the right winner. And I think now, especially off the back of Last of Us, Fallout, and ideally God of War, Horizon, when they all come out, like... Once again, we talk about what Sony's bread and butter, what PlayStation's bread and butter is. We saw the Halo series; it sucked bum. We're not seeing a State of Decay movie series. We're not seeing a Crackdown series. You know why? Because for what Microsoft do in these particular examples is not story. It is not translatable.
And State of Decay, we've already had too many zombie stories.
Yeah, that too. Yes. All right.
Cool.
Dear God. All right,
next up. Next up, we have what I've titled Setting the Record Straight. So Neil Druckmann, co-studio head of The Last of Us, Uncharted creator Naughty Dog, has pushed back on comments he supposedly made in a recent Sony interview released alongside this week's corporate strategy meeting. Druckmann is quoted as saying the developer's next first-party title could, quote, redefine mainstream perceptions of gaming, but he says on Twitter he never actually said that at all. Druckmann explained that Sony edited his, quote, rambling answers to the questions presented, meaning, quote, some of my words, context, and intent were unfortunately lost. He then presents his complete answer to the question in a tweet, which I have, I'll pull up in a second. Druckmann quite literally never uses the sentence he's quoted as saying in the published interview. It is written, quote, I'm eager to see how this new game resonates, especially following the success of The Last of Us, as it could redefine mainstream perceptions of gaming. He continues, quote, because of The Last of Us and the success of the show, people even outside of gaming are looking at us to see what it is that we put out next. I'm very excited to see what the reaction for this thing will be, and I've already said too much about it. I'll stop there. So over on Twitter, he did post essentially word for word what he said in the interview, and they discuss... the use of AI and generative algorithms, all that fun stuff. But yeah, at no point did he ever say that exact quote that Sony pulled and put in their put in their article. And it just goes on to mention that if you're a gamer, you know about the potential of games, and non-gamers, they don't really know what they're missing out on. But my hope was, when we made The Last of Us TV show, that we could change that, and why I became so involved in the show. I wanted so badly for it to be good because I wanted this to happen, which is like someone who will watch the show, really like it, and then fall in love with those characters the way that we have already fallen in love with those characters and their story, and realize at the end, hang on, this is based on a video game. Then go check that out and introduce a whole new subset of people into gaming from what they originally thought was just a TV show.
It is cool. It is interesting where this is off the back of, I noticed you haven't put it in the news this week around a little bit of mergers and acquisition within the games media space with IGN buying Rock Paper Shotgun, GamesIndustry.biz, a couple other people, right? So the challenge that we have to have is that without this middle individual, whether it be the media, we then have to go by solely what the companies say. And this is a perfect example of why it's not awesome. Because without that individual, like the individual middle ground to be that, you know, what media should do, which is check and balance, you know, then they can say whatever they want. And they said, this person said it, and we go, oh, well, this is okay. Like, that feels like 1984 shit. Which is interesting. Like, Neil Druckmann has said some dumb shit in his time. I still think he's great, but he said some dumb shit. And now I'm wondering, like, well, how many of the times has this shit been accurate? You know, I'm not like, you know, suddenly disbelieving everything that's ever been written ever. But it does pose that larger question. And I shout out to Neil Druckmann to be comfortable in enough position to then be able to tweet out and go, that's not what I said.
Well, I think the big thing was, and like I sent it to you last night, the big takeaway that people had, going back, because we talk a lot of shit.
We talk so much.
The headline is Naughty Dog Neil Druckmann says AI technology will, quote, revolutionize how content is being created, push the boundaries of storytelling. And that's not what he said at all. If you read through the actual interview that he released, his word, he obviously, being the type of person he is, didn't give a straight answer. They went, well, this doesn't sound good. We're going to make it more succinct and to the point. But that's not what he said. Taken out of context, that headline, that AI technology will, quote, revolutionize how content is being created, in this day at the moment, AI is a big no-no to a lot of people. And they're like, well, we're not going to support that. And then he's had to go, hey, I've got to kind of put this fire out. I didn't actually say this. I've got to set the record straight.
See, yeah, to expand on that, I think it's very interesting that PlayStation or Sony or whomever chose to release that statement specifically, knowing that Neil Druckmann is already a divisive individual within gaming subculture in terms of, you know, especially what they spoke about with, you know, Last of Us Part 2. I think the game's fantastic. Everyone else is wrong, because that's how it works. You're either right or you're wrong, according to me.
They are the two options.
They are the two options.
You are the crew.
You know, and then, you know, on the back of the Last of Us series, everyone kind of shat on him, thinking he's this big egotistical maniac, which I'm sure he had, you know, in order to be a creative director or any sort of, you know, big-time creative person, yeah, you kind of have to. Do you think Kojima's a lovely person to work with? No. He's probably a right prick because he has a clear vision and he set it out and he made it. Steve Jobs, one of the most dumbest people ever to work with in life. Visionary? Abso-fucking-lutely. So, with that in mind, to have them create a quote that is just by design going to shit people off, like, why would you set him up that way? Because even right now in the chat, MGB jumps in, not shitting on you, MGB, I love you, you're a fantastic person, I'm a big fan of you. He says, I heard what Neil said about AI and I'm annoyed, but he didn't say it right. So MGB's opinion and outlook on Neil Druckmann has been tainted because of this. I know that, like, I'm not saying it falls into a slanderous space, but it is an interesting line, right? Because, look, in a lot of ways, yeah, AI does have the potential to be incredible in certain factors. You know, we saw this week Google integrate AI into their search results, and apparently the best way to cure suicide is jump off the Golden Gate Bridge, according to Google's AI. Or can cockroaches live in your weenus? According to a Reddit post that the AI of Google went, yeah, sure, yeah, totally can. You know what I mean? Like, AI is as dumb, as smart as you can make it. And that is a hurdle. But it's the misrepresentation that pisses me off.
Mm.
You know, just from I understand the truth is never really the truth. But a lie and a bent truth are very different. In the same way that we can say one of the top three PlayStation podcasts made in Australia, it's true. It's a bent truth. Because I don't know where we sit in that top three. And there's only three of us. So it's really easy to say that. But it's a bent truth. It's not a lie. If I said we're the number one, I can't verify that. That would be a lie. Yeah,
and I lost that title at PAX.
And you true, and we can't say that because it would be a lie because you lost that title at PAX to Platinum Explosion, the true number one PlayStation podcast in the Oceanias. And like, that wasn't a dig at them, by the way. I fucking love those boys. So it was just more of a solidifying a point. Yeah. So it's I know I'm probably looking at it for the wrong reasons. I guess I'm looking at it in the wrong way. It's just, I don't know, it's frustrating. We don't normally touch upon rumors all that often, Max, but sometimes there's some that are really interesting. So this first one here is ahead of Xbox's game showcase coming in June. The outlet Insider Gaming has posted a new report claiming that Bethesda plans to announce a new Doom game during the live stream. And it's allegedly going to be called Doom the Dark Ages. The sources tell the website the new title out of id Software will be, quote, medieval inspired, end quote, essentially confirming it'll be a prequel to the PS4 reboot and its follow-up sequel, Doom Eternal. That's not at all, though. In a separate tweet, insider Nate the Hate, good name, says the game will be revealed as a multi-platform game, with the PS5 version announced there and then during the show. Yes, absolutely. I can assure you that entire fucking Xbox showcase, you'll be like, bet it's coming to PlayStation, isn't it? Like, they've set it up. The dominoes are in place. That's the future. Max, do you want to play a new Doom game?
Look.
Wrong. The answer is yes. You should totally want to play a new Doom game.
I enjoy Doom for what it is, but it's really not my thing.
Mm.
As much fun as it is fucking those demons up, it's kind of just corridor, kill room, and it kind of gets tedious after a while.
Absolutely. But once again, back to our previous point, right? Gameplay versus story. What's the story? I don't know, fucking demon hell energy on Mars. You're the Doomslayer. You're a human in a suit that the demons fear for some reason because you're so effing powerful. I don't care about that. I'm going to murder a bunch of demons with bullshit weapons. Get excited. I now have a grapple hook. So what's next in Doom? You probably don't have a grapple hook. If it's a prequel, then you probably don't have the grapple hook yet. But
I guarantee he has a medieval grapple hook. It's just a fucking rope with a hook.
Just gets trebucheted in a battle. That'd be sweet.
It's not, there's no, you can't rappel with it, or like, not automatically anyway. It doesn't like sling you at them. You can swing from object to object. That's about it.
I would personally be super intrigued by this. I think it would be great. Love to play it. What I'd also love to play, Max, is more Astrobot. I mentioned it earlier. I think, you know, VR Rescue Mission and what was the other one? Astrobot VR, and then there was Astrobot Rescue Mission. The one where you get to see all the cool little PlayStation themed little Astrobots. Best game ever. But apparently a full PS5 Astrobot title will apparently be announced in the very near future. Could it be this alleged showcase, Max? It's the 26th of May. They have 4 days.
Yeah.
So the answer is no.
Yeah, the answer is it's going to be announced on Tuesday, and then it's going to come out Thursday.
It's true. The turnaround time on showcases is pretty insane these days. So according to the ultra-reliable leaker, Bill Kuhn is... What does Kuhn mean again?
I don't know. We had this discussion, like, what feels like 3 months ago when I was playing Yakuza.
Yeah, it was. And I was like, I don't know what Kuhn means. Kuhn's like, is it like friend? Or yeah, it's like so. It's like mister? It's kind of like that neutral, respectful, whatever?
Something like that.
I'll keep going. I'll come back. On D-Labs, who report that that the reveal is happening, quote, within 15 days, end quote. When placed alongside all the other rumors, this strongly suggests that a PlayStation Showcase, as we just mentioned, or at least some kind of PS5 presentation is imminent. The leak goes on to say that Astro will be joined by a new fox-like character, that the game will feature some kind of desert environment. That's vague yet specific. As alluded, this is supposedly a PS5 project and not a PSVR 2 title. It's a cute... Mute jumps in the chat and goes, it's a cute way of saying friend.
Kuhn is generally used for male...
Male friends.
Male friends who are either your age or younger.
Mm. Okay. So you'd be Cooper Kuhn.
Yes.
Sweet. What's the one for lover? Chan? Senpai? Because I think you'd be Cooper Senpai to me, because I love you. Just saying. Would you want another Astrobot game?
Yes. Yes. Very much so. Yeah. Astrobot's fantastic.
And having it like not be a VR title is cool. Once you can play with your kid.
It's a mascot you can get around.
Yeah, absolutely. And the beauty of a good mascot is that you can fuck with it and you can kind of manipulate it as you need, right? Like you can give him a hat and suddenly he's a different thing. That's a good mascot. You know, and PlayStation doesn't really have a mascot anymore, or at least a mascot that is marketable. Like, yeah, Joel and Ellie are their mascots. Can you give them to kids? No. Like Kratos, he's fantastic. Can you give him to kids? Nah, not really.
Can you? Yes. Should you? Maybe.
Yeah, and question your decision. Once again, this is a guy that played Hogwarts for 13 hours with his child. So, up to you. That'd be pretty cool. And, you know, PlayStation, although a brand of a similar, a longish age, not Nintendo age, but, you know, they've got, like, a bunch of more kid-friendly mascots. And Xbox just has Master Chief, and it's not even theirs because it was made by Bungie, and then they bought it. So, cool. Next up, Dragon Ball Sparking Zero. Sparking! Zero. Sorry, there's an exclamation mark there, and I forgot to enunciate it correctly. First announced at the Game Awards back in December. We're still waiting on an official release date for Dragon Ball Sparking Zero, the spiritual successor to the well-liked Budokai Tenkaichi games. See, no exclamation marks. Much nicer name. But going by a recent video from Sergio M3R, who's data mined information on various Bandai Namco titles in the past, the PS5 brawler is targeting a 1st of October launch. An October launch would mean roughly 10 months of publicity, and we now know that licensed anime titles are almost announced and released within the space of 12 months or thereabouts, often due to contractual agreements. What's more, as a number of Dragon Ball fans have rightly pointed out, the old Budokai Tenkaichi titles, the original and the second and the third, are all released in October in their respective years. It would make sense for Bandai Namco to continue tradition with what is essentially the fourth installment. I wouldn't go that far into it. I think that's fucking coincidence, because yeah, it's technically a sequel, but October is just a great time to release games because it's right before Black Friday, right before Christmas. It's just a really good, like, October used to be fucking smashed. Now, Max,
now it's February. October's the February's the new October.
Yeah, that's right. And then what'll happen is it'll release in October and then get delayed to February. It'll be fine. I grew up with Dragon Ball, adore some Dragon Ball, love it. Have I loved it as I've grown up? No. It had its time, its place for me, and it went away. You still have been enjoying.
Was it at 7:30 a.m. on Cheese TV?
Oh, it totally was. Yeah, big fan of that. That was a great time.
I know. I consume it still.
Yeah, I was going to say, how are you feeling about Sparking Zero?
So keen.
Yeah. See, like, it's... Because is it just a standard-ass brawler in the same way that, like, Fighters was?
Yes.
Because I quite like Kakarot because of its funny story.
Fighters is a 2D fighter. This will be a 3D fighter.
Yeah. So I can certainly see the appeal, but I don't think there's enough here to really speculate on, but I like the rumor. Rumors are fun.
All right, quick bits. Assassin's Creed Shadows reveal trailer is the most disliked in the series history.
What? Oh, because of people. Did we touch upon that last week? I think we did a little bit.
Yeah, we spoke about it.
Yeah. God damn it.
Death Stranding 2 has entered its adjustment phase with filming and recording complete.
What a name. Bug fix or, you know, tidy up would be a good name, but adjustment phase. This is exciting because we don't have a date for this at all. And there's no, as far as I'm aware, there's no conversation around it coming this year. Could be coming next year. Did they year it?
I think it's next year.
It is 2025, yeah.
Yeah.
So I said that. And then the second I said it, my brain went, you're an idiot. I'm like, oh, I am an idiot. It did give me a date. So that's exciting. A lot of time to touch up because if it's, you know, looking good, it's going to look even better. Give me Joker, Rockstar, Troy Baker. Thank you.
PlayStation London tweeted their farewell this week.
They did. It was announced about 6 months ago, I think, that they were closing PlayStation London. You've added an extra D for some reason in the Word doc. Known for...
also wrote Farwell instead of Farewell, but, you know,
there's more. one of their big, most recent big releases was the PSVR Worlds, Blood and Truth, which was fantastic. They were, you know, the studio that created The Getaway did, you know, become part of what was to become PlayStation London. It is a sad thing to see them go, as they were kind of given the brunt of some shit because they did a lot of SingStar games, you know, iToy games. They were like, we have an idea that's kind of gimmicky.
They were kind of the gimmick studio.
Yeah, well, we'll just throw them at these guys and they'll put it together. So it's a shame to see them go. And obviously, people losing their jobs. Sucks ball bags. But shout out to the UK for having them, like, not be immediate. I think the thing that's law, that they, you, like, You're like, hey, we're closing this down. Fuck off. It's like the other way. It's like, you know, you've got 6 months. Like, you have to give them a reasonable window of notice and time to close things up.
It's official. Number 5 no longer exists. Black Ops 6 is revealing next month.
Oh, wow. I just fucking clicked. Because, like, hang on. The last Black Ops was the one with the 4, but not V1. Or 1V, because that would make sense. Because there's just 4 single, like, slashes. It was horrible.
Yeah.
Why is there no 5?
I don't know. Fucking talk to Treyarch. My problem. I know how to count. They clearly don't.
I thought I did. But I understand, like, you know, what Windows did it. They went from Windows, like, 8 to 10. You know, they skipped 9 because it was related to a thing.
I mean, to be fair, Xbox One, Xbox 360, and then 1. Like, they clearly don't know.
That's true. And everyone already referred to the original Xbox as the Xbox One. So now to have the Xbox One again, weird choice. Mute in the chat says, 6 was so great that it skipped 5. Oh, that's a very good point. Because wasn't it, you know, wasn't it Call of Duty Black Ops Cold War?
Yeah, but
would that make it number 5?
Well, that's what a lot of people are arguing, that Call of Duty Black Ops Cold War was number 5, and this is Black Ops 6.
I get it, because one of the greatest franchises of all time, Fast and Furious. They had Fast and Furious 1, 2 Fast, 2 Furious, Tokyo Drift, not numbered, Fast and Furious, number 4, not numbered. Fast 5, numbered. Fast 6, Fast 7, Fast 8, 9, 10. They started numbering them from then on. So, okay. There has been Fast and the Furious precedents, Max. That will hold up in court.
Oh, God. Sure.
And finally. I like how you're like, Ryan's going to talk garbage. I'm going to look at this other window on this screen over here.
I was looking at Call of Duty releases just in case I fucked up and there was a Call of Duty 5, Black Ops 5. There's not. It's Cold War. Cool. Stellar Blade has added some uncensored new costumes after the controversy a couple of weeks ago when they censored all the costumes.
Now, to clarify, when you say uncensored, are we getting like Bob's and Vagine? Are we getting exactly what all the weebs wanted? Like, are they like, hey, the game's released, the reviews are out. Here is straight up Korean character vagina. As you walk up this ladder, it's directly in you're just seeing straight bumhole.
That's not that.
Oh, well, that's not that uncensored now, is it, Max? Fucking PlayStation censoring everything. I want a game with visual. Well, high rendered 4K 60 frames per second bumhole. I will fill out that petition in the chat. Oh, sad. It is sad. We will promise uncensored.
120 FPS ass.
Oh, 120 frames, but just cheeks clapping at 120 frames. Beautiful. Sounds horrible. It's like everyone's like, oh, 4K is amazing. You know what's not amazing in 4K? Porno. You know why? Because it's fucking hideous. Like, you know, it's not good. No one should see that shit in 4K. Absolutely not. Not at all. Here are games that are coming up. Excuse me, why I take a timestamp, but make sure to not mention the part where I mentioned pornos being gross in 4K. On the 27th of May, you get Seed of Life on the PS5 and the PS4. On the 28th of May, you get Multiverses. It's back!
Being re-released.
It's Multiverse Classic. It's reborn. PS5, PS4. Sushi Ben coming to PSVR 2. Tevi, T-E-V-I, coming to PS5. On the 29th of May, Capes coming to PS5, PS4. That chick out of Incredibles. Don't get her to review this game. She's going to hate it. She's going to say, no Capes. 0 out of 10. Horizon Chase 2. Not a Horizon Zero Dawn kart racer, sadly. Because the one was the first one. PS5, PS4, as I said. 30th of May. Tokyo Psychodemic. Horrible name. PS5, PS4. Umbraclaw. Not a Pokemon. PS5, PS4. Wizman's World Retry. PS5, PS4. On the 31st of May, F1 24. Coming to PS5 and PS4. I'm really uncomfortable with the amount of PS5 and PS4 releases. Like, are we ever going to fuck off PS4? And then finally, Sugar Mess. Let's Play Jolly Battle. That also sounds like a porno.
Not for Call of Duty. Apparently 48% of the PlayStation player base for Call of Duty is still playing on a PS4.
Gross.
I should also mention, I forgot to put in the quick bits, 2K now own the licensing to FIFA.
Oh, yeah!
And it's rumored that FIFA 2K25 will be releasing this year, which seems fucking crazy to me. Yeah, that was it.
Well, that's an interesting thing, right? So now that would put 2K in the hands of 2K. We see NBA.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Wait, no. I say NBA, but they haven't released an NBA. Oh, wait, no, I'm wrong. I'm thinking of EA. Sorry, my apologies. I'm thinking of EA. EA had an NBA license and they fucked it, so they just stopped doing it.
Yeah, they used to do NBA Live.
Yeah, NBA Live. So they've got NBA.
NHL.
Isn't NHL EA? Pretty sure it's EA because it's the same as Madden. They have the wrestles. They have the PGA with the golfs. They've got other ones. Top Spin. You got tennis. They used to have baseball. They had Major League Baseball 2K back in the day.
They've got WWE.
Yep. Mention that.
Yep. Cool.
NBA.
They've got. That's an old one. Let's see if that's still the case. I'm just coming to, like, because they used to have NHL, so let me just check.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's EA.
Okay, they did Top Spin, they did then WWE, they did PGA Tour, NBA 2K, WWE 2K, NBA 2K, blah, blah, blah. They don't do Madden or anything like that.
No, because I'm pretty confident. Very similar to the MLB, the fucking NHL. What is it? NFL has a singular license.
They did NHL back in 2017, and they haven't done anything with it since. So that obviously has gone kaput.
Yeah.
So yeah, okay. So they've got wrestling, golf, and
tennis. And now soccer.
Wrestling, golf, tennis, basketball, soccer.
Yeah, and it is... the FIFA license is a big pickup. It does make me wonder how much they're paying for it, knowing that EA were essentially like, we're not paying your fucking fees. And they went, all right, well, we'll go over here. And they made EA FC.
There is apparently an untitled NFL 2K arcade game in the works.
Okay. Wait and see on that one. But... yeah, like that has me intrigued, especially with Take Two just laying off 1,000 fucking bajillion people.
That's how they can afford
friends of the show, and that's why they did it. They did it to get that's absolutely unsubstantiated, but they did it to get the FIFA license. Because especially with GTA fucking 6 around the corner, they're like, oh, we can't pay you now. We'll pay you in like 8 months when fucking GTA 6 comes out. Like, you look at that fiscal, like their financial report. Strauss Zelnick was like, we're about to make a stack of coin. Get everyone boned up for the next quarter or the next year or whatever. It's going to be real awesome because GTA 6 is coming. But we laid off like a bunch of people. That sucks. Friends of the show. Like, shit, no lie. And it sucks. Sucks bombs. But anyway. That does bring us to the end of the show. Long one today. The fun part is when we do these shows, Max. We looked at the notes, we looked at the doctor and went, oh, it's like, fuck all. This is longer than any show that actually has big shit to talk about. It's mental. Mental. But yes, big thank you to everyone that hangs about here live when we record it on Twitch, on audio feeds or video. We really appreciate it. As I said, we've been doing this, almost 350 episodes. Like, holy shit, we're really close to 350, by the way. 350 episodes. It's been a blast. It will always be a blast because we're gonna keep doing this until the wheels fall off. We ain't going nowhere. But no, as I said, one of the biggest things, the only finite thing we have in this world is time. And for whatever reason, you have chosen to spend it with us. So big thank you so much. We really appreciate it because, you know, your time is precious. Ours isn't. We waste all the time. But, you know, glad you enjoy it. Let's get out of here, Max.
All right, everybody. This PlayStation conversation happens every Monday morning at 8 a.m. on podcast services, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and 9 a.m. on those you choose. If you'd like to take part in future conversations with us or have topics you wish to discuss, come on.
Oh, that's a good idea. That's a fucking way idea.
Facebook, Discord, Instagram, and X. All of those links can be found in the description below.
If you want to join the conversation as it happens, head over to twitch.tv/popcultures. Watch us record this show live. We can jump in the chat and become part of the show. You can pitch topics in the show, sure, why not? If you want to support the show, you can tell your friends, tell your family about this PlayStation Pod. If you're listening to us on podcast service, be sure to give us a 5-star rating and a written review. Watch us on YouTube, be sure to like, subscribe, and comment below. I endeavor to answer every single comment. And if you want to support us financially, you can at patreon.com/popcultures, as well as our merchandise store, popculture.com/shop. We can buy shirts and other sort of shit with our logos on it. We haven't sold a shirt in so goddamn long, and we don't have a PlayStation 1 on there anymore because it got pulled down because of copyright infringement. So I'm probably just calling it's a store. The store exists. That's fine. But until next week, I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Max Cooper.
And that was For the Players. Man, just to have fun and poke fun at my partner. So she's watching in the other room. To her credit, I sent her a message.
Oh, that's right. She zones out after what we've been doing. So we just have to talk random shit about it.
I just have to say her name occasionally, and then she's like, pays attention. And then I talk about the financial reports of 2K. She's like, ugh! so like, I've got this stein that I've been drinking water out of. I was going to drink more water, and then I drank it and went, this tastes like dish soap. Hey, Phoebe, can you please come, can you please get me a new water? It'd be really nice. Thank you. And then to her credit, because she was so engrossed in the show, she's like, I didn't look. I got it just then. As we're leaving, she goes, oh, yeah, I just looked at my phone now. I'm like, cool. Thank you for hopefully paying attention to the show. I can assure you she didn't. Bye. Mwah. I'm getting in so much trouble.